Okay, we're in 2 Timothy when we're still in chapter 2. We're going to be starting at verse 14 tonight and finish the chapter. Oh boy, I'm going to have to hurry. And last week, from the first part of the chapter, these are some things that came out. Stand firm in the knowledge that God will save you based on what? Based on the work of the obedient Son of God, Jesus Christ. God saves us through the work of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And then, once we're saved, we need to commit to training others so that they will train others. So it just perpetuates itself, right? We keep doing that. Keep passing it down.
Amen.
Yes.
There was also that incredible verse that proves that you can't do it.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Endure hardship and stay in the battle. That's Paul's message to Timothy. Just keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Endure. Endure. Why should we endure? So the gospel can be preached all over this world. Amen? Keep on giving the gospel. And the main thing we learned was, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus. If He hadn't been resurrected, we're wasting our time here, folks. And we're going to hear more about that tonight, I think. When you believe on Christ, His Spirit takes residence in you. You don't have to feel it. You don't need to base it on feeling. You can base it on fact. Here's the fact right here. But you don't have to go by feeling. A lot of people want to go by feeling. Don't base it on feeling. Feelings change. Just know that it's true. Why? Why is it true? Because God's Word says it. It's there. So believe on Him and He will be in you. He can never deny you. If He's in you, He can't deny you, because what would He be doing? He would be denying Himself. And He won't do that. So once you call on the name of the Lord, He takes up residence and you're good to go. Yes. Now, we can't think, well, we can do whatever we want. No, that's not the idea. That's not the idea of it. If somebody has that idea and they do whatever they want, they'll have a rough, rough life. They'll be frustrated all the time. So can't do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So now we're going to go on. And we're going to start at verse 14, and we'll go for a while. We may not finish, but that's okay. We got next week, unless the Lord comes, right?
That's right.
And
we'll know it for sure.
Then we have eternity to finish it up there. If we want to talk. You think we'll talk about it in heaven?
All the time.
Oh, it won't be necessary, because we're going to be in His presence.
But we'll have perfect knowledge, and we'll be able to think back and say, hey, you remember that passage that we were talking about in Timothy, we didn't quite get it. Man, we get it now. Here's what it means, right? It's going to be great. Okay, so tonight, you know what this section to me is about? Being an approved workman for the Lord. You got approved workman, right? If you have approved workman, what else do you have? You have disapproved workman. Oh, we don't like to think about that, right? Oh, we're in Christ. Everything's perfect. We don't think about other stuff. But we have to think about it. Because if we don't think about it, what happens? We think it's okay if we're over there in that territory. And then the enemy takes advantage of us. So we have to think about it. All right, so starting at verse 14, it says, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Okay? Paul is reminding Timothy to remind believers to remember the truth and holiness they have already received from true and holy teachers, i.e. the apostles and their protégés like Timothy, and the letters they've written, right? Those men, the apostles and their protégés, they are approved workmen. They're approved. They've run the race. They've done the job. And they are approved, right? In other words, Paul is saying, remember, know and remember the truth. Nothing else matters. Know and remember the truth. Doesn't matter what other people say. Don't even get in an argument with them about it. Know the truth and try to bring them to the truth, but don't have a big brouhaha about it, right? Give them the truth and move on and let them deal with it, okay? God's Word, not words of various so-called knowledgeable people. No, it's what God said. It's not what somebody said about what God said. It's about what God said. That's why we try to go to the source, God's Word, right? Be in God's Word. We have God's recorded Word to base and judge any teachings about God. Anything anybody says about God, here's the checklist. We just go here. Well, it doesn't sound quite right. Let's go look in the Word of God. You can find it. Find if it's true or not. Pastors need to teach adherence to God's Word before false teachers arrive. So when somebody shows up and they start talking like they know a lot about the Bible, man, that's impressive. Look, you hear what this person says? Okay, listen carefully. Be the Berean. Double check it. Make sure they're not trying to get over on you, right? False teachers, they're out there. Do not follow new revelation. God gave me a word. I want to give it to you. No, God's already given us His Word. This is the revelation of God. There's nothing new coming. There's nothing new. The only thing, you know what prophecy should be today? Just what we just went to. It should be explaining what God said about what the future is going to be. Amen. It's about understanding it. That's what it's about. Yes.
Isaiah 8:20.
That's right. I have a message for you from God. God gave me this message for you.
I'll see you later.
Sit down here. I want to tell you about it. Nuh-uh. Listen, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. If God wants to give me a message, it's going to come through the Holy Spirit. It's not going to come through some guy who knows where he came from. That doesn't work. Don't get caught up in it. How about this one? I had a dream about an angel. And this angel showed me these things. Here's what that angel showed me. And here's the newest one. How many prophets are on TV today? I mean, you go online, you can go online on your TV now. You all know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get on there and you do your Google thing or whatever, and the whole screen is filled with little pictures of people that are giving prophecy.
Dreams.
Forget about it.
Dreams and stuff.
That's nothing but trouble. Stay away from all that stuff. I was talking to somebody recently and they were telling me about this prophet they were following. And I said, well, do you know if any of his prophecies have come true yet? Because that's the sign of a prophet.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But this and this, and he did this and this and this and this. I said, how do you know it's true? Well, I just believe it. I said, you know what they call that? Blind faith. That's blind faith you're working with there. You don't have any proof at all in that. You're willing to believe it. You better get out of that.
Amen.
Curtis?
Jeremiah 23:29 talks about dreams. And then it goes on, verse 29, to tell you, God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock.
That's right.
So if anybody got a dream, let it tell.
That's right. So here's the bottom line. Stay in God's 66 books. That's where it's all at. That's His recorded word that we call the Bible. You want to know something about God? That's the place to go.
That's His testimony.
If you don't understand it, get somebody that you can trust that help you explain it. And you can go to more than one person. You get several opinions. I mean, there's no problem with that. Nobody's going to mind that. Some hearers of false teachers may be unsaved. And because of the false teaching they hear, they might not ever get saved. You got to be careful with this stuff. They might decide they're not going to trust God because they don't like what they're hearing. And then the scripture in Timothy says they'll be ruined. They'll be ruined. And guess what? Some immature believers can be ruined. Hear what I'm saying. I didn't say lost. I said ruined. Because we're talking about workmen, approved workmen, right? But if an immature believer hears something that a false prophet said and that takes them off on a tangent and gets them away from God, are they ever going to be able to be used? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. So we have to be careful about false teaching. That's why we need to be studying this. You know about the FBI and the counterfeiters, right? What do the FBI, what do they study to find counterfeit money? They study the real thing. They don't study counterfeit money. They study the real thing from the mint. And so when they see something that isn't the same as the original, they know right away it's no good. That's why we study the Word. Be in the Word. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Amen.
The word of truth. The Lord deserves our greatest effort in sharing His word correctly. Get it right. Completely. Accurately. This is the way to prevent false teaching from taking a foothold. Study it. Know it. Be ready. Be on guard. Then you'll be in good shape. It means cut it straight. Verse 15. Let me look at that. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Cut the word straight. Give it the way it should be given. Be exact. Teach it correctly. It's God's Word. All of God's Word is the Word of truth. Whole thing. The only lies in this book, this Bible, the only lies in there are the lies of the enemy and people that he's used. You can know that they're liars. Verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. Listen, we're talking first century A.D. And they're saying, oh, resurrection's already done and over with. Yeah, sure, the Lord was resurrected. That's it. You guys missed the boat. They have strayed, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You know, some people are not solid in their faith. And they get picked off. They get picked off. Profane and idle babbling are heretical renderings of Scripture. That's what they're talking about. They're not true. They're false. They have no saving power. And like cancer, they promote death. You get the wrong information about God, and you get down on the wrong, off on the wrong track, and something happens to you, you don't get a second chance after death. Paul names two men and might just as well have said, here are two heretics. Don't trust them or believe them. Probably promoting, these guys probably were promoting Gnosticism by denying bodily resurrection and saying the spiritual resurrection in Christ has already happened. Gnosticism teaches that material existence, things in a material form, are evil. Our bodies are evil. Well, we know they don't conform to God. We know that, right? But Gnosticism says that your body's not going to be resurrected because it's evil. Why would God want to resurrect that? See, they don't understand. It's not going to be the same body. It's going to be changed. Right? The teaching was that there was only one spiritual resurrection in Christ. And that had already happened. Now, how many people were lost because of that teaching? Because that teaching gives no hope for the believer's future and promoting a denial of Christ. No salvation in Christ. We missed it. Compare this to 1 Corinthians 15:19, where Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Man, we don't want hope just for this life. We want it for eternity. But Paul doesn't leave us hanging there. He goes on and says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Praise the Lord.
That's another way of saying the dead. Doesn't mean they were sleeping or they were in a coma. No, it doesn't mean that. It means they were dead. Christ has risen. We have that hope of glory to look forward to. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, whenever we see the solid foundation of God, what do we immediately think of? Go ahead, say it. We usually think of the solid rock, the foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ, right? You can admit it, it's okay. But probably in this verse, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the solid foundation of God's church. God's church. The body of believers, victorious over hell. Why are we victorious over hell? Why is this body of believers victorious over hell? Because Christ lives. And where does He live? In us. Hell can't claim us. Satan can't claim us. Greater is He that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I don't have to worry about that. Amen?
Amen.
So compare this to 1 Timothy 3:15, where it refers to the church of the living God as the pillar and foundation of the truth. Well, how can it say that? Because this is where the truth of God is disseminated through His Word. Unfortunately, today, that's not true of all churches that claim the name of Christ. So you have to go and listen and see what's going on there. The pillar of foundation of the truth as it consists of those indwelt by Christ. That's us. The Lord knows who are His, and He has known since before the creation of the world. If you are serious about being His, you will shun iniquity and seek holiness. In other words, be approved. Be approved by your walk, not your talk. Lots of people talk the talk, but do they walk the walk? That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. Shun iniquity. How do I know? How do I know? To him who knows to do right and does not do it, it is sin. God doesn't make it hard. He knows us. He knows us. We need to have it kept simple. So if it's something I shouldn't be doing, I think the Holy Spirit's going to reveal that to me and I'm going to know. I'm in the wrong spot here. Let's do one more and then we'll quit. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from the dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. How do you cleanse yourself? You're a believer. How do you cleanse yourself? Repentance. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you repent. That's how you know. Who is ready to serve the Lord? People are vessels. That's us. We're the vessels. Either honorable or dishonorable. Approved or not approved. I'm not saying lost or saved. You made a commitment to Christ. He saved you. But are you approved? That's the question. The church is the house. See, it says in a great house. The church is a great house. The honorable vessels are those continually repenting and seeking the Lord's will. Yes, saints that are continually walking in the Spirit and keeping themselves cleansed from the dirt that they attract when they walk through the world. And they're repenting of those things and staying clean, right? They're walking in holiness. They're approved. We want to be approved. That should be our desire. I want to be approved so the Lord can use me for His glory, not mine. I have nothing of myself to offer. Do I? None of us do. We know that. The dishonorable are those believers. I'm still talking about believers. who are more concerned with day-to-day life in the world and their own will, their own way. Value, their value, our value, is based on sanctification, readiness for the Master's use in doing His will. Cleansing is about confession and repentance. That's the only way of cleansing for believers. That's it. The Holy Spirit shows you, you go to the Lord, you confess, you turn back to Him. That's the only way to become useful for the Master, for His good work. Well, there's plenty of work out there, but the good work is what He calls you to for His service. God calls all to be saved, but all won't be saved. The Lord calls all His children to be sanctified, approved, ready to be used, but all won't be that way. You have to mature. You have to give up your life.
You have to surrender.
You have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Lord to use you. You have to be sanctified. That simply means set apart. You're willing to set yourself apart so the Lord can use you. He's calling all of us for that, to be approved. But we have to make some choices. We have to make some choices. I had to make some choices this week. I had to turn off the TV. And read the Scripture. And read some of the words of these men that we just heard down at the prophecy conference. They're not giving their own words. They're giving words from this. They're giving instruction from the Scripture. Is this more important than TV? Of course it is.
This is life eternal. The TV is
life. So I have to make that choice. So you don't understand. I love TV. I love it. But I have to give that up. Because I have to love Him more. We'll finish up the rest of this next week. The thing is, ladies and gentlemen, saints of the Lord, I'm trying to encourage you to set yourself apart, be approved workers of the Lord, that He might use you. How many know when the Lord's going to call them to be used? Nobody. We don't know. So you have to be like the Minutemen. Remember the Minutemen in our history? So when the enemy came, they could be out there in a minute's notice, ready to fight. That's us. We have to be the minute people of the Lord. That's right. So, I can't make you do it. He can't make you do it. He won't make you do it. He'll just tell you about He'd like you to do it. And then you have to make up your mind. Anybody have any comments? Something you want to share? Okay, then let's go to the Lord. Father, we're so thankful for not only Your Word, but how honest and upfront You are with us. You don't pull any punches. You don't hold back. You let us know, if we want to be close to You, this is what we need to do. We need to surrender to You. We need to surrender it all to You so that You can use us whenever You want to, however You want to, Lord. And then we can give You the glory and the praise. And then one day, Lord, I can just envision one day, Lord, You'll maybe slap us on the back and say, "Oh, that was good. Remember that time? Oh, that was so good, so sweet." Lord, help us to love You to do it. I think we all desire it. Help us to get the victory over those things that hold us back, that we might be proud, approved workmen, and that our pride will be in you and what you allowed us to do. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.